Mini episode 256 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Royalty Tours USA, your ultimate resource to traveling in style to attend sporting events. Follow them on the web at royaltytours.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, taking a look at the AFC West, Rick Morris, Kyle Ross, your FDH Lounge dignitaries and residents, breaking it down over the 2012 retrospective, 2013 look at here as we said, the hinge of the 2012 and 2013 season doesn't work well. Denver winning this division in this past year going away. I was a skeptic largely because, for all we knew, Peyton Manning's neck was being held together by a few pieces of duct tape and a few paper clips. My understanding is that was the Euro surgery that was performed on. But somehow or another, it held up. Maybe the stem cells that were injected, allegedly, or whatever it ended up being. Maybe he's going to say, Ryan Braun and Ray Rod, or whatever it ended up being.
Jeez.
Just had to slip that in.
Jeez, so weird.
Whatever. Well, these overseas things, we now find out that going to one of these overseas surgeries was enough to get Bartolo Colon suspended. So some of these things that happen in the far corners of the planet, Kyle Ross, who's to say?
I say hats off to all these people trying to extend their careers. What are they doing wrong?
Well, again, Peyton Manning, I took issue with it, and I said, what's the guy risking it for? You know, he could be one hit away from sitting there with a drool cup. So far he was
You talk about a team that's funny. In the AFC South, we talked about an Indianapolis team that way was clearly the overachiever.
Yeah.
I'll put Denver as probably the number two overachiever in the AFC last year. I did have him in the playoffs, but like a lot of people was apprehensive. I said 9-7. And they clearly overperformed those expectations at 13-3. I think it was a best case scenario season. And, you know, this was the division that, look, it was interesting because, you know, we each took shots with other teams to win the division. We were both horribly wrong. You had San Diego. I was even worse. One of my worst picks of all time when I picked Kansas City to win this division before the year. That's, I mean, an all-time awful pick. The Raiders were pretty much where we thought. I think we both thought the Raiders would be kind of like a 4-12 team.
Awful.
But I don't think we knew that the rest of the division besides Denver would quite be that terrible. I want to talk about Denver 2013 now. Am I wrong to suggest, because I've seen a lot of people saying AFC champion, we love the Broncos, they'll be back. Am I wrong to make the comparison to Brett Favre's second season in Minnesota here? When, you know, there was sort of like everything went right. He had the change of scenery. It couldn't have been better in year one. Threw across his body in a playoff game. Lost the game. In year two, it all went wrong. Denver's not going to match the 13-win total next year.
No.
As bad as this division is, they're going to come down a little bit, probably to about 10 wins.
I got them at 10. Yeah.
Here's the problem, though. If you think they're really going to regress, this could be wrong. You have to pick one of these other three to win the division. And, you know, we talk about the chasm that existed between New England and the field in the AFC East. It's very similar, if not more pronounced, here in the West. I mean, these three teams, besides Denver, you could make a case for the three worst teams in the AFC. Kansas City and Oakland were the
San Diego rallied to finish 7-9, but that was deceptive.
Did they really feel like 7-9?
No,
they had some real dog performances.
They did. But here's the thing, though. Like last year, and again, and I'm not going to make the same mistake next year. I think I'm actually picking 9 repeat playoff teams because sometimes it leads you to make picks that are ill-advised.
Yeah.
I wanted to pick San Francisco to make the playoffs in the NFC West. But I picked Seattle to win the division instead because I thought San Francisco was going to regress. They could get them. But here's how I did it. I had them both in basically the grid at 9-7. So if you're looking for a cop-out way of not picking Denver, You could say Denver and San Diego both at 9-7. San Diego wins the tiebreaker. If you're looking for a cop-out, I'm not looking for that cop-out.
No.
I think San Diego's 9-7. I think they lose the wild card on a tiebreaker. Denver, I think, wins the division at 10-6. I think it'll be close. I'm kind of believing the hype with San Diego a little bit as far as Mike McCoy. I think he's an inspired choice to come in there, get a lot out of that
from the division.
You
maybe have some secrets. But here's the thing with San Diego. Look, they finished you were a little higher on them than I was.
Yeah.
I said they'd be 7-9, missed the play. They finished, you know, they were a team that, you know, I kind of like Tennessee in the South, I nailed them pretty much right with some of these sub. I thought they were in that group of, you know,
I thought Manning would go down and I needed to pick somebody by default.
Sure, sure. But I thought San Diego and Tennessee would kind of be those just sort of middle of the road, like sort of subpar AFC teams, because there's a huge gap between the haves and have-nots of the AFC. I thought they were kind of the top, those teams were the top of the have-nots. They wound up being. But here's the problem with San Diego. They're the, clearly, if you don't think Denver's going this division, they're the only option you
can
pick.
Clearly, yeah.
But this isn't the same San Diego team of like 2008 to 2010 that woefully underachieved and had a ton of talent.
No.
This is just a not very good team anymore.
Right.
Philip Rivers, let me tell you something. There was a time, probably about 4 years ago, that I was like, you know what? Aaron Rodgers and Philip Rivers are the two next great quarterbacks in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to today, Rodgers has a Super Bowl. He's probably the best quarterback in the league. Is Philip Rivers even a top 15 quarterback anymore? I don't think he is.
You don't think he's a top 15 quarterback?
I'm going to name 15 better right now. I'm glad you asked.
You were prepared for this, okay?
Yes, I was. Rodgers, Brady.
Okay.
Manning.
All right.
Peyton.
Both.
Yeah, both Mannings, Peyton and Eli. Breeze, Roethlisberger, Flacco. It's kind of interesting how, just one quick note here when we look at the AFC, that as we wrap up the last division of the AFC here, that it used to be when we started the year, you had the six quarterbacks who had won Super Bowls, and there was a real dividing line between the rest. I think that's kind of being blurred a little bit now with Flacco now winning a Super Bowl. And then Matt Ryan is a top 10 quarterback. I think he's kind of proved his merit, although he still has some questions about winning the big game. But there's nothing to suggest that he's doesn't have a chance to do that.
Has Sam surpassed him in your estimation?
Has Sam Bradford surpassed Rivers?
Rivers.
No, he was one of the guys. I wasn't going to name him.
Oh, okay.
I've got more, so I've got eight. Ryan's eight.
Okay.
You're going to have question marks in some of these, but you're wrong. Colin Kaepernick.
Don't even tell me Romo. I'll give you Kaepernick. He made the Super Bowl.
Tony Romo is better than Philip Rivers.
Oh, my God, no
Tony Romo is better than Philip Rivers. I don't think I
Philip Rivers throwing with his other hand is better than
you're wrong.
Romo.
You're blinded by your hatred of Romo. Tony Romo is better than Philip Rivers. Not by a lot, but because Romo's not top 10. Because some guys passed him this year, some of these young studs. Russell Wilson, to be named.
Tony
Russell
Romo made the AFC Championship game which year?
Okay, but what's Rivers done? Okay, what's Philip Rivers done the last 3 years? Same thing as Tony Romo, bunch of 500 seasons.
Uh-huh.
He's regressed. Romo's kind of largely been who he's been his whole career. Rivers has regressed to the level of Romo. Just because you're better than Romo once doesn't mean you're always better than Tony Romo.
Okay.
And by the way, I wasn't done.
Okay,
by the way,
no, I'm
Russell
sorry.
Wilson, Russell Wilson rounds out my top 10. Also better than Philip Rivers.
Okay.
Andrew Luck is better than Philip Rivers.
Yeah, I'll give you him. Yeah.
RG3 is better than Philip Rivers. Cam Newton is better
than
Philip Rivers.
What's RG3 going to look like when he comes back, though? Two knee surgeries now?
I don't know. But I rather a
gimmick offense that the NFL is going to solve. He's more reliant on that gimmick offense, I think, than our Kaepernick and Wilson.
Agreed, but I think at this point, I look, those ones are more like, but you know what, here's what I'm saying.
Okay.
You can make a case that Philip Rivers, Jay Cutler, Matt Stafford, didn't mention either of them, they're better than Rivers.
Okay, yeah.
Now, granted, it's a lot closer than the guys who I mentioned at the beginning, but see what I'm saying? I can make a case that this is a guy who a lot of people once thought was a top five quarterback in the league.
Okay.
He's now barely top 15, and that's not a good sign. The talent around him has...
I think Ryan Matthews is going to have an awesome year in this offense.
Yeah, okay, you talk about guys who get healthy or are always injured. Okay, Ryan Matthews, he's in the same hospital as RG3 every week.
All right.
They're such a gutless team, too. I don't know how much of that was Norv Turner.
Norv Turner.
Okay,
man.
So it's in their DNA. Now,
offensive coordinator, my new favorite team.
Yeah, now,
or my favorite team, rather.
Now, looking at the the other two teams, I think Oakland's going to be the worst team in the AFC. This was a team that I thought would challenge to be the worst team. They were, I think I said 4-12. That's where they finished. Kansas City was my horrible misfire in the AFC. They were clearly my biggest disappointment. I said they'd be 9-7.
I was wrong, too. I thought they'd be mediocre. They were awful.
Now, they're going to jump up to about 6 wins, I think.
That's what I got them at.
Because I don't think they can possibly be as bad as they were last year.
They had much better talent than a 2-14 team.
I just don't understand how it all went so horribly wrong for them. I
truly hate to say this, but you know what I'm going to say. I hate to say this because he might be the nicest man ever to coach in the league, but Romeo Crennel is the reason.
He's not good.
No.
So
Peter Principle. Yes. Keep him as a D coordinator.
So they're going to improve. I think Kansas City, so they'll improve. Oakland will stay the same. So there won't be much change here except that Kansas City's going to steal some wins off the Denver pile, but ultimately the pecking order, relatively the same. I would say Denver, San Diego, Kansas City, and then Oakland, I believe, is the worst team in the AFC.
I think they probably are.
Yeah, I thought them and I thought Oakland, Jacksonville, and Cleveland would be the three worst teams in the AFC coming in to this past year. I was right with Cleveland is definitely better than Oakland and Jacksonville, but
And I'll say this too. I am reversing some of the nice things I said a year ago about Mark Davis, where I was impressed with his initial moves as owner of the Raiders, bringing in Reggie McKenzie, bringing in Dennis Allen. I was in complete and total disbelief about that, but for the right reasons. I mean, I'm positively impressed because it was such a repudiation of his old man's chaotic way of doing business. His willingness to bring in somebody from the Green Bay organization and try to learn and do it that way. But Mark Davis, a year later, he didn't do himself proud coming down the stretch this year. The undermining of Dennis Allen toward there at the end and then not firing him. Dennis Allen's a lame duck going into next year. They're going to suck. They're going to be horrible. And they're talking about going with Terrell Pryor potentially as their quarterback. Terrell Pryor, if you need him, Oakland Raiders starting QB likely at the outset of the 2013 season. This is a team that could make a run at 0-16 if things completely fall apart. By the widened eyes on your face, I'm seeing that you had not heard this Terrell Pryor news yet. But
that makes the Carson Palmer trade, which was already one of the worst trades in recent NFL, even worse.
Yeah.
I mean, that trade has killed them. They had no draft picks.
Yeah.
This is the worst team in the AFC.
Yeah.
This is the worst team in the AFC.
I believe
the worst team in football.
Yeah,
I think Oakland could be drafting number one in April of 2014. I really do.
Yeah, and good news for if you want to look at it that way for Reggie McKenzie and the guys there trying to build a long term foundation. But it shows you how far away they are from a long term foundation in Oakland. And the only thing about it that's truly unfortunate is if the revisionists and the Hugh Jackson apologists. Out there trying to say, well, hey, look, they were 8-8 at bare minimum with him. No, they were doing it with mirrors at that point.
I was shocked. Remember when we did the preview for this past year?
Yeah.
I was like, how have the Raiders gone 8-8 in back-to-back years?
Mirrors. They did it with mirrors.
I mean, that was shocking. For the last 10 years now, I mean, they've just been incompetent.
Well, you talk about short-sightedness. I mean, let's go beyond the whole thing with Carson Palmer. People don't dog this other deal as much just because it's sort of that deal with the ugly-ass hooker that had the really gnarly-looking parrot on the shoulder, and the hooker looked better with the compared to the gnarly parrot there. Well, if the Carson Palmer trade if the Carson Palmer trade is the parrot in this situation that's even uglier than the ugly hooker, then the ugly hooker is the Richard Seymour deal. Because, we forget about that.
Oh,
Kyle, we forget about that. But that's a thing where why would you go after Richard Seymour? Why would you act like you're one piece away defensively from going to the Super Bowl? Because they never were. They at no point in the last several years, or even remotely, one defensive piece away from the Super Bowl.
Oh, God.
I'm reminding you of something you'd forgotten about, but yes.
This is a shoo-in. For worst team in the league next year.
Because they traded away part of their future in the Seymour deal before Carson Palmer. The Richard Seymour deal, in my analogy, is the hooker, but the ugly parrot that makes the hooker look a little bit better is Carson Palmer. That deal. They've done it twice, Kyle.
This is easily the worst team in the league next year. Oakland.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? 2-3 wins?
Yeah.
Tops?
Yeah. So, again, you know.
So, yeah, I mean, Kansas City might take a couple wins off their pile, too, I guess. And maybe San Diego gets a couple, so.
Sorry, but, Raider fan. I mean, I know you'll stab either one of us in the kidney if you ever meet us. But, we have to tell the truth.
Here's an interesting thing. Because we've done all four divisions down the AFC.
Yeah.
Patriots, Texans, Denver. All considered slam dunks to win the division by both of us, right?
Yes.
Who is more likely somehow to not win the division of those three?
Of those three?
New England, Houston, Denver.
By process of elimination, I think we would agree. It can't be Houston because we agree Indy's going to regress.
Yes,
so
exactly.
I think
most people would pick Houston because they're not banking on the regression of Indy that we are.
Yeah. Take them out of it. So it's basically, is Miami more likely to jump New England or San Diego to jump Denver? Miami's my 1B team. I'm a Dolphins fan, but I'm going to say definitely San Diego. San Diego is more likely to jump Denver than Miami is to jump New England.
Here's the other, Manning's health. He held up brilliantly for
if
1 year.
If it's Brock Osweiler, look out.
Yeah, I mean.
Because I think long term the guy can be something, but short term, whew, that could get ugly.
I like Houston, New England better than Denver next year.
I do too.
I don't think Denver would get a first round bye. But here's the thing, though. And we talked about it with New England. Denver swept the division.
Yeah.
6-0.
Right.
History shows that doesn't happen back-to-back years.
Right. Well, here's my playoffs for next year. Here's what I'm looking at. Wild card round. I got Pittsburgh as the 5 seed, but I got them going into Denver and beating them. So I think Pittsburgh will avenge the loss of 2 years ago. And then number 3 seed, Cincinnati, I got them. I think it'll be a statement win. I think they're going to take out the defending champion Ravens. In that round there, divisional round.
I could see both those things happening.
Yeah. I'm going to say in the divisional round, and again, you talk defining games. Number 1 seed, Houston, I'll take them over number 5, Pittsburgh. I think they're going to win that game at home. And then I think it's going to be a tough one, but I think in Foxborough, number 2 seed, New England over Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And then the AFC Championship is the one I expected to see this past year. I'll go with it again. Number 1, Houston over number 2, New England. So, for another
before
year, New England coming up short in the AFC
before the draft and free agency, you're thinking Houston, New England. I'm inclined to agree with almost everything you just said.
Okay.
Except that I think maybe Denver would beat Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I have more questions about Pittsburgh. I don't think Denver would be one and done in the playoffs again.
Then you got Denver, though, going into Houston. And then it would be hard to see Denver taking out Houston, I think, right?
It wouldn't be that hard, I guess. Again, Houston.
Their moment and their building. Well, again,
next time they win a big playoff game will be the first.
Yeah,
2 wins over kind of a ho-hum Cincinnati team that we think is going to improve in this year, but that's not that
thing,
impressive.
Well, and let's not forget, though, 2 years ago, and again, they lost but were respectable against Baltimore in a game where I've said all along, if Matt Schaub was the quarterback of Houston in that playoff run, you know, who's to say? Maybe they steal the AFC. I've been saying that about the 2011 season. But here's the thing, though. They lost on the road last year. They lost on the road the year before. We're talking about Houston as the number 1 seed with Denver or Pittsburgh coming in and having to play in their barn. That's a different story.
That's why I said Houston's goal ultimately has got to be the number 1 seed.
And
if they don't get the – I think psychologically it just destroyed them going into the playoffs. I just don't think they believe they had a chance to beat New England.
And, you know, dome team in the snow, you just don't want that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at the alternatives in the AFC. They're looking.
Here's the thing, too. So you and I are basically, we've got the same 6 we believe in the playoffs, Pittsburgh replacing Indy.
Yes.
Is there a team, like, who is the candidate to be the surprise team then in the AFC? Like, Miami and San Diego is what you're looking at?
They're on the verge.
I mean, I think there's a huge gap, really.
There is.
The Colts are still going to be will still be respectable. I think they'll be, although their record is going to regress, like I said, I think they'll be better than their record is this year, whereas this past year they were not as good as their record indicated.
Depending on the offseason.
Like, those between those 7 and the remaining 9, there's a big gap.
If you're putting a gun to my head of somebody that I'm not even picking to be at 500, because I'm going to say 7 and 9, a team that I'll see if you can guess where I'm coming from here. A team that if they do everything right this offseason, and it's going to be tough because I expect them probably to make a move at quarterback also, but if they do everything right, maybe they could get in the playoffs at 9-7. Hint.
Buffalo.
Yes. I was going to say, hint, you thought they could do it a year ago.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't want to totally jump off the... But
if they do everything right, it could be them.
Yeah. Okay.
They got a lot. They have like 10 things in a row they got to do.
Yeah, because history suggests it won't be that easy. I mean, I think a lot of people are going to replace Indianapolis with Pittsburgh in their playoff predictions.
Right.
So who's the surprise? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I guess we'll just leave it at that. I'm going to Buffalo, if you're forcing me to go outside of the Miami-San Diego axis. But, yeah, Pittsburgh... taking the spot for Indianapolis, we agree on that. And again, me personally, Rick Morris, I'm saying Houston Texans to come out of the AFC in 2013.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.